the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And in our homes and in this body and in this land, Father, your will be done. And we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, that there is a fire welling up in each and every one of us, Lord, that we no longer will worry about fitting in or worry about the status quo or being complacent with our relationship with you, Lord, but we will put you first, that you will be the main thing, that you will be the most important thing, and we will watch in amazement as all the other things fall into its appropriate place as we put you first. Thank you for an amazing service this morning, Lord. Let us look past the messenger, but let us receive the word that you have for us in Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name. And everybody in the church said, amen. So God is good. Amen. So here's the deal. Let me give you a little backup on what we're talking about. We're talking about being thankful, okay? King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now, he's got a big problem. This guy loves the Lord. He's a good, godly king. He ain't perfect. Read about him. He ain't perfect, but the man truly loves the Lord. Okay? Sound like anybody you know? You ain't perfect, but you truly love the Lord? Well, this guy right here, he loves God. He's the king of Judah. And all of a sudden, this compilement, this conglomeration, this group of two and a half nations, Ammonites, Moabites, and Mount Seir, come to attack Judah, okay? So all of a sudden, this guy's got a huge problem, man. Talk about a bad morning, waking up and finding out this is what we would call a no-win situation. In the natural, we would call it a no-win situation. In the natural, we would call this a hopeless situation. But remember, like I said, Jehoshaphat loves the Most High God. So let's read these verses again. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 and 21. And they rose early in the morning. This is the day of the battle. We got this big enemy coming down the road. This is the day of the battle. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." So this is what's going on. It's the day of the big fight. And King Jehoshaphat does something really, really weird, really, really interesting, man. He puts the praise and worship team, he puts praisers in front of the military guy. So as they're going out into battle, Jehoshaphat says, "Look, praise and worship team, I want you to go out there. Army's going to be behind you. All right, just listen to me, praise and worship people, calm down. You're going to go before the army. So you will see the enemy before these guys do, all right? Now, what I want you to do, praise and worship, guys, is I want you to give thanks to God. I want you to praise God. I want you to change the atmosphere, in other words. I want you to get your focus on the Most High God and not on the wind and waves." So this is very peculiar. This is very strange. This doesn't make sense in any kind of military situation whatsoever. Everybody knows that. But here's the deal. Let's go back to the beginning of the story and see why in the world this king who truly loves his nation, who truly loves the Lord, would do something like this, putting the praisers out before the army in this, what we would call in the natural, a no-win situation. So go with me to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3 when Jehoshaphat gets this news. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3. When Jehoshaphat, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Are we in agreement this morning that Jehoshaphat is kind of a funny name? Try saying it over and over again while you're talking. Everybody, let's say Jehoshaphat three times. No, I don't know where. Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He gets the news and he's afraid. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Talking about a no-win situation here. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Now, this is what I want you to do. Okay. We're doing this thing, and our main topic, this guy is terrified. But I want you to look at that word afraid, and I want you to add in there whatever you might be going through this morning or whatever you think God wants to work on in your life. Does that make sense? You say, well, I'm not afraid. I ain't got three nations coming against me. But I'm dealing with bitterness from what happened to me when I was a kid. Or I'm dealing with enviness. I'm dealing with selfishness or whatever it may be. I want you to put that because you know there's things in our life that can, listen, we know that there's things in our life that can keep us from being thankful. There's things in our life that we need to just give to God so we can be thankful to the Most High God. And he wants to remove those things. He wants those things out of our life. So whatever it might be, you might be fearful like Jehoshaphat, but we don't have to leave here fearful because Jehoshaphat was afraid. But listen to what he did. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So here's Jehoshaphat. He takes his burden to God. It's like, man, this is scary news. This is bad news. I can't believe this is happening. No win situation in the natural. But I serve a supernatural God. All right. My God is the creator of heaven and earth. So he takes his burden to the Lord. Step number one, okay. You got a problem. You got to understand you got a problem. Any 12-steppers in here? You know what I'm talking about. You got an issue. You got a problem. You got to realize I got a problem. And then you give it to the Lord. All right. You lay it at his feet. Can I get a witness? Okay. Now look at 2 Chronicles 26 and 7. 2 Chronicles 20 verses 6 and 7. He's giving it to the Lord. This is what we do. God, I want to be thankful. I know it is your will that I have victory in this area, but you know what? I am so bitter over this situation, or I'm so envious over this situation, or I'm just so anxious. I am just stressed out to the max, and I know it's not your will that I go around biting off all my fingernails. I know you want me to be thankful. So I'm going to step number one. What am I going to do? I'm going to give it to the Lord. Can I get a witness? 2 Chronicles 26 and 7. I'm not saying you don't have problems. I'm just saying we need to get victory over these problems. The Lord has need of us. He said, you know what? I need Adriana to live in this decade. I need Sister Robin to live in this decade. I need Sister Chelsea to be alive at this time. I have called them by name so I can use them so they can further the kingdom of God through their life. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. And said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? He's giving it to God. Now listen what's going on. And said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. This guy is getting a picture. He's running to God. He's giving it to God. And he is enjoying. He is saturating himself, if I can use that word. He is dwelling in God's truths, in God's truths. I can't say that right, but look, he's taking God's word and he's standing on it, okay? He's reasoning with the Lord. He's saying, you know what? I got a big problem, man. I got a huge problem, but I serve a big God and you are in control. You are sovereign. This wasn't a surprise to you. I just got the news this morning, but you knew this was going to happen, and you know the end result of all this. You know how this is going to work out. You're sovereign. You're in control, and you're my heavenly Father. He's focusing on the truths or the promises of God. Running to God, getting a hold of his scripture is what we got to do. I'm not talking about if you're just fearful this morning. I'm talking about whatever's holding you back. You got anything that's holding you back? Yeah, I lost years, man. I lost years with certain sin that I would not, that I had no desire to get rid of. I wanted peace, but I wanted to hold on to my hurt, man. I wanted to hold on to it because I had a little power in that area. You know what I mean? Bless God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let everybody know how much I hate this dude. I'm playing. Jesus, forgive me. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. Okay. But look, 2 Chronicles 26 and 7. This is verse 7. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? Okay, he's reminding God of his promises. God doesn't forget. But there's a blessing in saying, God, this is what your word says. This is what your word says. And I'm standing on your word like your word says. I'm believing in you. I know you're sovereign. I know you're in control. So here's this enemy that's coming down the road. They're right down the road, okay? But I know, God, that you gave this land as a promise. You gave this land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know the story. This is our land because you gave it to us. That means that these people are intruders, that these people are going against your will, going against your promise to this people, and I'm standing on what your word says. Can I get a witness this morning? Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land? Yes, he did. And give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Well, that's kind of like right out of today's headlines, isn't it? God gave this land to the children of Israel. So we better be careful. I mean, listen, I don't want to get political, okay? But, okay, we better be careful if we go ahead and we want to start helping people divide and spread up this land that God has set aside for the people of Israel, okay? Praise the Lord, tell the truth, shame the devil. Let me enjoy some of this delicious water. Okay. Now, very interesting. Dude gives it to the Lord. Jehoshaphat gives it to the Lord. Standing on God's promises. How are you going to stand on God's promises if you don't know God's promises? You got to get into the Word of God. Remember, he was seeking God's face, man. He went into his prayer closet. Said, man, I can't do this. That's our next point. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We got to humble ourselves. I'm running to God. I'm standing on God's promises, but then I've got to turn it over to God. You know, it's all right here in the text, man. This man, Jehoshaphat, says this. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. So here's this guy, this king of Judah. He's not all alone when he's saying this. He is in front of a great assembly of his people. This is the king, okay? He doesn't want to appear weak in front of his people. But you know what? He's had to humble himself and realize we're not getting through this without God. We're not getting through this without God. So I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I am humbling myself before the Most High God and saying, God, I need you to get me through this day because my life is just messed up and I cannot have any peace without you. Lord, I cannot even imagine tomorrow. We'll take it one day at a time, like scripture says, right? But he is our answer. And we got to humble ourselves and realize I can't do it on my own. I cannot accomplish everything on my own, but I got a God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get a witness? Oh God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. This is beautiful right here. We do not know what to do. What an amazing statement for this king, this man of God, to say in front of his people. I don't know what to do. I don't know, guys. Oh, but my eyes are on God. I'm looking to God. I'm looking to God because, well, Psalm 121, verse 2. This isn't in your bulletin, Psalm 121, verse 2. Because my help comes from the Lord. Okay? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Think about that. Think about that for one tiny second. My help, because I'm very limited in what I can do. You're very limited in what you can do. But our help comes from the Lord. And look at the first page of his resume, the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. Yeah. I think we can safely and comfortably if we want to give our burden to God. You know, give it to him and receive his peace. Amen. Can I get a witness? You know, and we do. We have to humble ourselves. A lot of times we don't want to admit that I'm at a loss. We don't want to admit I can't do this on my own. Well, Joe Bill does a better job. I can do. I'm just as good as Joe Bill. No, sometimes, man, you got to get. Y'all know Joe Bill, right? What's that cat been up to? No, actually, I do know a guy named Joe Bill. Anyways, moving forward. We got to humble ourselves. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. I'm content with all these crazy things that are in my world. I'm not letting them steal my joy. I'm not letting what's going on around me dictate anything to me. I'm not letting this stuff steal my joy because of this right here. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What? What? No, what? Paul, what? For when I, slow down, Paul, what do you mean by that? Hey, there's a blessing, a huge blessing in realizing I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. All right? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have this king, this good guy, man, loves the Lord, taking his burden to the Lord, standing on God's promises, reminding himself what God's word says, going before the Lord with it, you know, and humbling himself, realizing, I'm not going to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat with this one. You know, I don't have anything in my bag of tricks that can get us through this one, but I belong to the Most High God, creator of heaven and earth. Okay, so we're already on slide two. My monitors are not on today, so I might, you know, go in a different route or whatever. I don't know exactly where you guys are at, but we're on slide two. I hope that wasn't super confusing for you. Here we go again. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, we're leading up to the day of battle here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. Now, this one right here, because you're going to do this, if you choose to do this, you're going to do this, because this is what happens when we do this. Okay, I want God, I want to advance in this area. I want to leave this whatever it is behind. I don't want to live in this fear anymore, this anguish anymore, this hurt anymore. So I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to stand on your promises. And this is what Satan's going to do, because as soon as you begin to get a little bit of peace in that area or feel like you're moving ahead a little bit in that area, Satan's going to come in and try and steal that peace. He's not going to take it lying down. He's like, oh, good for him. He's really wanting to get out of that sinful situation. Goody, goody. Let's see what. He's not going to do that, man. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he can't. He can't do everything, but he sure wants to poke at you mentally and try and make you miserable and try and make you mess up, man. He wants to steal that joy. He wants to kill that peace. Okay, so when Satan messes with you, let's see what Jehoshaphat does. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Man, that's a powerful statement right there. That's the real deal right there. God said, Jehoshaphat, people of Israel, stand firm. Don't be shaken. All right, be like that tree planted by streams of water. You know, grab onto God's word and don't be shaken. Stand firm. Can I get a witness? So when Satan attacks, stand firm. Say, no, 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 no. I'm not giving into this. This is what God's word says. And let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, your own heart will try and deceive you and mess you up. rebuke that nonsense. I'm not saying it's easy, but you know what? If you do this, you're going to get the victory over this area. You know, because sometimes, man, you got to do this day after day, you know, day after day. But I'm not going to dwell on this hurtful situation anymore. I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm not going to be this selfish whatever anymore. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. God is good, right? Got to stand firm. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 18. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I like how this thing is just like in a circle. I'm fearful. No, let me give this to the Lord. I'm going to stand on God's promises. I'm going to get into God's word. I'm going to get into my prayer closet. I'm going to begin to magnify the Lord so I can see everything in its proper perspective. Here's my mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and here's my problem. I'm not saying you don't have a huge problem, but it's not huge compared to the Most High God. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. And I'm going to stand on God's promises. Satan's going to attack, try and steal that blessing. Well, we know that's going to happen. If you've been a Christian more than 4 hours, you know that's going to happen. Probably the day you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you remember it, you know, within hours, Satan was probably like whispering in your ear, "You ain't no Christian." I don't think that took, man. You ain't no Christian. I know what you did last summer. I know it. You know what I mean? That's how he works. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20:18, that Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. There's that humility again. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. During all this mess, Jehoshaphat's worshiping God. You know, this is before the battle. This is before any victory's been declared at all. They got the promises of God. Listen, they got the promises of God. They're standing on God's promises, and they are worshiping God. They are honoring God. They are giving God thanks before they have actually stepped out into this battle. In other words, they're already fighting the battle before the swords have been drawn. Can I get a witness? They're praising God. They're giving God thanks before they've seen the physical manifestation of any kind of victory. And I think there's something to be said about that. We got to stand on God's promises, and we got to praise him and be thankful to him even when we don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it, we need to give them the sacrifice of praise. Amen. I mean, that's the truth. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So this is what Jehoshaphat and the people did before the day of battle. You know, so we kind of understand what's going on here. When you've got your focus on God, and not the wind and the waves, not that the wind and waves aren't there, not that you're not going through a trial, but when you see God for who he is, you can have a thankful heart. When you see God for who he is, you can have peace on the day of battle. You can have peace before you step out there with swords drawn. Can I get a witness? Yeah, slide 3. So what's everybody doing later? I'm playing. I really don't care. I do care. Oh, slide 3. 2 Chronicles 20, 22, and 23. Jehoshaphat sends the guys out. Praise and worship team, go do your thing. Military guys, wear your swords and spears and shields and bows and arrows and slingshots and all that hip stuff. You're going next. You go behind these guys. But these guys have been prayed up, man. They're prayed up. They've been worshiping God. They've been standing on God's word. Now look what happens as this battle unfolds. And when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord, not Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshaphat was being obedient to God. He was trusting in God. He said, I'm going to praise you in the middle of this storm. I'm going to be thankful to you in the middle of this storm. Okay. But God does the heavy lifting. Our job is to trust and obey. And when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah so that they were routed. Now, I like that word. They were routed. That means they got their booties stomped. Yeah, that's what it means in the Greek. Routed means they got their booties stomped. I'm playing about that, but that is what it means. So that they were routed. Look at verse 23. For the men of Ammon, Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped destroy one another. What? What's going on here? Could you read that again? Of course I can read it again. But look, when we worship the Most High God, during the crazy, crazy times, the enemy gets so confused. You know, he's like, oh, I don't get these people, man. I'm trying to make it to where they're being persecuted. I'm trying to make it to, you know, and here they are praising the Most High God. Here they are being thankful to God when it doesn't look like anything's going to go their way, but they're being, I don't get it. See, the enemy is so confused, they're turning on one another, and they kill one another to where there is not a single enemy person left. The last two dudes, like, had to stab each other. I'm going to stab you. No, I'm going to stab you. That's how, there's nobody left, man. They all killed one another because the enemy was so confused, didn't know what was going on. And this wasn't Jehoshaphat or the mighty military. This was people praising the Most High God as they went into a no-win situation. They were thankful to God, and God changed it. See, sometimes God wants to do something bigger and better than we can even imagine. And we can't even see that far ahead because of our hurt or our fear or something, you know, but sometimes God wants to really, really, really take us to the next level. But we're like, nah, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to open my Bible because of this or because of that or because a preacher said this or hey, whatever. Those are all attacks of Satan trying to steal your blessing, because these guys, God routed the enemy. So number one, Judah is safe, okay? Number two, it took 3 days. This wasn't even on the map with the Judeans, how blessed they were about to get. It took 3 days for the Judeans to take all the spoils of the war from these guys. That many, many precious things is what Scripture says. So it took 3 days to get all this stuff from the enemy soldiers. Now listen to this. It took 3 days to get all the spoils, but on the fourth day, you know what they did? They went to worship the Lord. They went to be thankful to the Lord. So before and during and after this crazy trial, they were praising God. They were showing their thanks to God. You know, it's easy to be thankful to God when you just got 3 days worth of spoils, right? You would think so. But look at remember those lepers? You remember those lepers, right? You remember those guys? The lepers, the dudes that had leprosy. Jesus healed them all, but only one came back to thank him. Those guys just got their lives completely changed. You know, they had this death sentence. They were ostracized from everybody, you know, but only one came back to give them thanks. 10 got blessed. Only one came back and said, thank you. We don't want to be like the other nine. We want to be like that one that comes back and says, you have changed my life. I am saved. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen with all this craziness in my world and at my work and in my family and in my checkbook and in my health. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you, and I'm thankful to you, because at the very least, like the leper, at the very least, man, I'm made whole. I'm going to heaven. You know, anything else is just gravy, baby. That's the name of this book I'm writing. It's a cookbook. Stop it. Psalm 106. God is good. What's wrong with him? Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. That's what God desires out of us. Praise the Lord. Be thankful to God. Well, God, I mean, do you know what's been going on in my world? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. He is faithful to you. He was faithful to you before you got the news about the battle. He was faithful before you stepped out in the battlefield. He was faithful in the battlefield. He's going to be faithful after the battlefield. And our job is to give him thanks because it's going to work out. Let's give the Lord some praise. So just a quick little note. We want to keep Brother Jameson, Brother Terry in our prayers. And also, this Wednesday, we will be having church.